Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Zone Time, people. It's an all-dudes edition. I'm Julian. Tic-Tac Tomar's here. Avery's here. And Arun Srinivasan is tapping in for Sam, who could not make it. How are you doing? Shout out to you, Arun, wearing the Boozy Fade tee. For those of you who know about Boozy Fade in Toronto, a cultural institution, so many great parties, so many great times. Thank you for repping Boozy Fade on the Zone Time podcast. You are appreciated, sir. Thank you.
Happily, man. So good to be back with you guys. Dudes rock. Also, but we do miss our colleague Sam. But yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's been so long since I've been back, and we have a lot to get after.
We do have a lot to get after.
Sam will be part of it. We'll mention the Canucks out of nowhere and act this year like Sam, like screaming from Vancouver.
That's what that ringing in my ears was for like the last like 5 minutes before we started. Yeah, it has to be that. Yeah, man. Hopefully everyone's Super Bowl parties went well too.
Yeah, they were well. I will start off by saying that, I had like a fun Super Bowl party, I guess, but I was the only person to actually watch ball there. So, man, I reached out to Zoobs because I was like, man,
Zoobs. That's Yahoo Sports alum, the Zoobs.
Mentor Zoobs, and I reached out to him and was like, man. Like, I'm going to be the only person at this party who actually is interested in the game, you know? And he told me that's a gift and curse of knowing ball. So it was good. Super Bowl party was good. I tried to make, like, Patrick Mahomes Sr. during the halftime show. And then everyone sprinted to go see Rihanna. And I quietly went about my business and watched an all-time great Super Bowl get spoiled by a bad call at the end.
You got slick for that Patrick Mahomes Sr. reference. We know exactly what you were doing when you were trying to do that.
Well, this is Zone Time.
You ain't slick for that.
I'm not slick for it. Well, I mean, you know, but you
whoever's listening and watching this podcast, you can Google Patrick Mahomes Sr. to understand what he means. You'll find a meme or three.
Hey, word to Pat Sr., one-time Edmonton Trapper.
I did not know that.
Yes, what he was.
I did not know that. Wow.
Pitched eight games.
It was an Expo for a hot minute, too. There's a photo of him with an Expo cap, too.
Yep. And back in 04, the Expos late team was the Edmonton Trappers in 04.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Guys like Thermal Sledge were coming up from there.
Yeah, they all came to Edmonton.
Okay, we've talked nothing, but we have not talked a single second of hockey since we started this podcast. We're recording this on Monday afternoon, or I guess more evening in the Eastern time. As of right now, Jacob Chychrun has not been traded, but we know he's being held out for trade-related reasons and will not play at all this week until something happens.
Playing
your life,
emotions,
have you ever heard
man.
Of that? Playing your emotions? What do you mean?
Yeah. What? What do you mean? Listen, okay. Listen.
He's
all right?
Not going to the Leafs. I don't get it.
I know that now, but like before, like the 17 minutes when I thought it was happening and they kept panning to Kyle and Kyle was on his phone, I was like, yo, because like. That's the talk. Like again, I don't want a defenseman. I want a forward. However, it's Jacob Chychrun. That'd be cool. And then like, so I was just like waiting. Like that was probably the most like anticipated 32 thoughts like intermission show like ever. I like sat down, and I glued, and then
for
I heard
Jacob Chychrun. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
There's right. So many other intriguing players the Leafs could go for.
What
if they said something for Timo Meier? Jacob Chychrun.
He was the only guy that's more intriguing than Chychrun right now.
Yes. If we got Chychrun and not Meyer, I would have been okay. But yeah, like I don't know like what's gonna happen now. Like there, it seems like all the reports are a little like contradicting because they're like there's some people who are saying like X teams are in, and then the other team saying X teams aren't. But then we're hearing more information that this team might be in, or it might be this detail or that detail. So like they're gonna have like a documentary about like and even now. Like I think I don't know if it's true or not, but like I read that like Arizona's considering like retaining salary on it, which I don't know why. Like it's only 4.5. Like I don't like. So there's so many layers there. Yeah, there's so many layers to this.
I think it has to be it, but also I don't think the Leafs are out of the mix. Like I know Jeff Merrick had the report saying they're not in it, but until Chychrun gets traded, like I'm not, you know, taking any of the bait, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, it seemed like he was going to be in Los Angeles King. He isn't. You know, then Elliot Friedman reported today that Brant Clark and Quinton Byfield are not going to be part of any Kings package for Chychrun. So they're just like, when is smoke and mirror season? Like, I do believe the idea that the Kings, Bruins, Leafs, and Oilers are in the mix for Chychrun, but I wouldn't definitely rule the Leafs out. I mean, I don't have any inside.
Wait. Stop. What's going on? What is this?
What was the second team? The Kings, who, and the Leafs? The
Bruins, Oilers, and Leafs. I'm not trying to manifest them coming to the Bruins. The mix.
So far, in 3 weeks, Omar's had to deal with Horvat in Eastern Conference and possibly Jacob Chychrun now also in Eastern Conference.
Stop making trades with the East. I'm trying to survive.
I'm not trying to make this happen. But
Vladimir Tarasenko's in Eastern Conference too now. Though. We didn't even mention him.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. We'll mention him a little later on in the podcast. I should mention we did kind of start off a little hastily, but we're going to talk a lot about trades on this podcast and people who could be traded and guys who are already traded. And we'll see who Omar does not want in his division, which by extension, I mean, Arun is also a Leafs fan, technically, sort of. Am I allowed to say that? I don't think I'm allowed to say that.
Man, I think I report on the team fairly and accurately. It's fine to call it fan. Like, I'll write what I need to write critical of the team when I want to, but.
I also now feel bad because like that's you should I don't think you should be fans of teams you cover. I think that's ridiculous.
We're also not in the Walter Cronkite era of journalism, Julian. Yeah. I disagree. Like, come on.
No, but like I'm in the Julian McKenzie era of my life and I want to be objective. Wow.
That's
me.
Here's the thing though. Like when I'm in the press box, if I see like McDavid go 1-5, I mean, you know. I'm not cheering.
Like, we're all human. Like we all know that's crazy.
I'm not cheering, but I will show my emotion. I will say,
I'll do like a cow. Whoa. Like a what? Did you see that? Yeah, that is fine. That's okay. Like, but I'm not doing like a yes, they won. No.
Yeah, well, same, Julian. Like you've seen me in the quiet. You've seen me in the press box.
We have hung out in the press box, yes. You know, Omar's like, the only person I haven't hung out in the press box with, as far as like, I'm concerned.
I'm silent. You know why? Because that's the only way I can contain. I can't do it. I was in the press box. I was in the press box with the game where Michael Bunting sent the nastiest pass to Austin Matthews, and I almost broke a rib holding in the cheer. I was just like, and then James Myrtle looked at me and he's like, "You okay?" And I was like, "That was a good play. That was a good play."
Shout out James Myrtle one time. Okay, I loved how this turned into a conversation about objectivity in the press box. I completely forgot the topic I mentioned just before that. I am so sorry.
I think you're like too, like Jacob Chychrun, right? Like, of course it's exciting for the Leafs and other teams. Like, how often does a 24-year-old guy with 2 years of team control like hit the trade market and not just be smoke and mirrors for him to be on the market for what, 6-7 months and counting? Like, it just never happens. Like, if you're not gonna draft them. You know, it's almost like this opportunity that would almost like never come up. Like the Leafs have developed Sandin and Liljegren finally, you know, but like this idea that like a guy that fits the core of their window. And I think I'll talk about windows a lot too, especially if we get later in the show, but like he fits the window of the core guys for the Leafs. And that is probably true of the Oilers as well. And I think that's why they're interesting. And then the Kings can do like different things with their timeline. Like they have a bunch of vets still from the holdover championship teams, and they have a bunch of young guys too. Like, which makes I think the Kings and the Devils to some degree the most fascinating players on this year's trade market, in my opinion.
That's true. By the way, Shout out to Scott Wheeler, friend, colleague at The Athletic, who tweeted from the delivery room while his wife was giving birth that Brent Clark will not be part of any trade involving Jacob Chychrun, the prospect. I just wanted to shout him out real quick. And also, well, like, it's really great that you guys have shouted out to Jacob Chychrun the way that you guys have. It's pretty exciting to see that defense of his caliber is there. Could you imagine if, like, a guy who was up for, like, a Norris Trophy, who's, like, playing and still in, like, the twilight of his career, was also available for trade as well? I mean, that's not something Leafs fans should get excited about at all. Absolutely not. No way. If that was actually happening. You know what I'm talking about, Avery?
I have so many questions about that. Like,
what are these questions, Omar?
Yeah, what are these questions?
Okay.
So, like, how about this? Let's segue from Jacob Chychrun to the Erik Karlsson stuff for context, because Erik Karlsson, it looks as if the Sharks and the Oilers have at least reignited in some fashion trade talks involving Erik Karlsson. Yeah, what were you about to say, Omar?
Yeah, so Erik Karlsson being, like, a possible trade target, like has been, like, going on for a while. Like, even before the resurgence thing he had his amazing season. And I hear those things, and I think about it, and I sit on it, and then I go to capfriendly.com, and I look at his contract, and I say, how? Because not only does he make 11.5 this season, he makes it for 4 more seasons. So, like, if you're Edmonton,
salary retention has to happen for one.
For 4 years? And how much are you retaining? For 4 years? I don't know, man.
I don't know how that's likely it is either, man.
I thought Chychrun to Edmonton made so much sense for both sides. But, like, Karlsson, he's having an incredible season. I get it. He's having an incredible season. But, like, for 4 years? I don't know, man.
Avery, give us your read on this, brother. Please.
Well, first of all, this is a guy you need to make it to a cup final. This is a guy you should be going after. But in terms of salary,
said need.
Need?
110%? I put my foot in that. My foot in that same need.
No, hey.
Wow. Okay.
Hey. This is a foul show. You better keep your foot on the ground here.
Now
it turns into a foul. I said need. I said it with my whole foot. My God.
Jesus kingdom. Lord have mercy.
When it comes to salary, it's clear that you're going to probably have to get a third team involved to make it work. But my concern is Ken Holland and creativity, found not found.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ken Holland is not a GM known for getting creative and figuring out how that's going to work.
It's true.
He's not known as a GM. He isn't.
Yeah. But I think going back to Avery's point on need, and Julian, this comes down to one of your plan template about, like, do the Oilers need another puck moving defenseman? And I think the talk has been that, like, apparently the top players on Edmonton want a puck moving defenseman.
That's what they want. Yes.
Now I'm sorry if you're not a fancy stats person, but I looked at the numbers and, man, okay. So the only defensemen on Edmonton who have, like, positive defensive results at 5-on-5 is the bottom pair.
Wow.
That's it.
Jeez.
Evan Bouchard and Philip Roberg. They're the only ones who have positive defensive impacts.
Those are young defensemen.
The top four gets eaten alive. They're lucky that Jack Campbell has flipped the switch. And he's actually getting positive results, because to this day, the top four, Barry, CeCe, Kulak, who else is there?
I'm blanking on it.
Of course,
main three.
Darnell.
Darnell. We can't forget about
Darnell
Nurse.
They're getting eaten alive at 5-on-5. And even though Karlsson puts up a lot of points, he also has, like, the best defensive impact on San Jose, like, by far. Like, by far, it's not even close. It is not even close. So, yes, there's the offense, but he's also a good, well-around player as well.
So, like, I understand, like, wanting Carlson for sure. Regardless of looking at the fantasy stats, I understand wanting Carlson. To Avery's point, I just don't know how you pull it off. I really don't. Especially considering, like, the other financial things you have to do after this year. Like, Drysdale's not making 8.5 forever, man. And at some point, you're going to have to pay McDavid his money even more. So, it makes sense for sure, and it definitely makes the team better. It skyrockets the trajectory. Like, if Erik Karlsson is on the Edmonton Oilers, that's a disgusting power play. Like, that's oh my god,
offense.
Oh my, are you kidding me? Like, holy! But I don't know how they pull it off. I really don't.
I mean, Omar, I'm glad you raised so many good points. I generally agree with you, but I think it invites even more questions. Like, wouldn't Philip Broberg be going back in any Carlson deal? Like, you know,
yeah, there's exactly a bunch of prospects that they're going to want in that trade. There's probably draft picks in that too.
Absolutely.
This is not just like you're talking about salary. Like, what's funny is we've talked about Kendrick Holland, you know, like, hey, you know, be creative, like, put some players in this and forget about the year 2029, 2030. Make a deal that's going to work for your guys now. A deal to get Erik Karlsson, you're going to have to look at some of your best prospects and picks. Sorry to cut you guys off, but like is the opportunity for Ken Holland to do
and
that.
I generally agree with Omar's analysis. I'm not necessarily as high on Karlsson for his defensive impact. Like, yes, he's been the best defender on an abysmal Sharks defensive team. So he's maybe best, you know, it will give the Oilers, if Karlsson goes to the Oilers, I guess my issue, I've been going back and forth with it. Like, does he fit their timeline? He's 7 years older than Connor McDavid. He's 6 years older than Leon Draisaitl. You know, that too, like, the sort of reductionist narrative around the Oilers is that they're Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, and nine just guys. And getting a player of Carlson's impact, of course, increases their ceiling, but he is just one guy. Like, are you going to play him 30 minutes a game? Are you still going to have – you're still going to have those same problems in the bottom four.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably sending one of, if not both, Philip Broberg and Evan Bouchard back in a trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not necessarily worried about tomorrow. I'm generally of the opinion that tomorrow doesn't matter. Trade picks always, picks don't matter. But, like, that is a concern. So, I think of course, like, an Erik Karlsson trade makes sense to a degree. But, like, it's hard to pull off. You're going to trade back a lot, ton of draft capital. And, again, like, I'm so much of the opinion that, like, your core windows need to be aligned. Carlson's so much older than these dudes that you have, what, 1 or 2 years of contention at max? I don't know. Like, I don't know if it makes Edmonton notably better, as crazy as it sounds, about the guy that I would probably rank second in the Norris vote behind Adam Fox right now. So,
yeah.
I also would like to know those defensive numbers, too, with Erik Karlsson, because as Arun makes the point, that is a pretty bad defensive Sharks team. And Erik Karlsson, you know, as years has gone by, I mean, one thing that will stand out in his game, brilliant on offense. He will give up the puck a couple of times. That is going to happen, especially if you play the type of game that he plays.
Like, Edmonton's shot creation numbers are going to be through the roof, but like, they're also going to give up just everything if that happens. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Avery, go ahead.
Obviously, but you know, if you were to tell McDavid and Drysdale, hey, you'll win this year, next year, and you might fall off after year three, I think they would take that. I think they would take Cubs right now if you fall off in year three. They would take that title right now. But in terms of trades, I don't think you can trade. I'd rather trade away Broberg than Bouchard. I think even Bouchard's ceiling is much higher right now than Philip Broberg. Broberg's a guy who will be elite or close to elite, I'd say, in 3 to 4 years. Bouchard right now is one of your best young defensemen. And good NHL teams don't trade away good young defensemen to be elite. The Edmonton Oilers have done that many times. Over and over and over again. They can't do it again with Bouchard. They cannot do it again.
Yeah, but then how are you getting Erik Karlsson?
Exactly. To that point, if I'm San Jose and I'm like, you want Karlsson, that trade starts with Bouchard and it continues with your first round pick.
Absolutely.
That's at the very least those two. And if the answer is no to any of them, then get someone else.
Because at the end of the day, like, I mean, I get that the contract is what it is, but they're off. I can't imagine the Oilers are the only team that are kicking tires on Erik Karlsson, a guy who is playing in this amazing season where he's on pace to hit over 100 points, and he will be on many a Norris Trophy ballot. And if the Edmonton Oilers want to make a serious run at this, I mean, we have to figure out the money thing first of all. If you're the Edmonton Oilers, two, like, you're not gonna be able to give up a crappy depth defenseman and some scraps to get Erik Karlsson. The San Jose Sharks and Mike Greer. Shout out Mike Greer, by the way.
I was about to say, Mike GM Greer, and, he has all the leverage here. He does not have to make this deal.
He doesn't have to do this deal at all.
He doesn't have to do it at all.
So, you know what? Oh, you go ahead, Omar. You finish
it. No, I was about to say, so like whatever trade it is, like it has to wow them. It has to be like, okay, yeah, this is a package that will make the team better long term. He's trying to build up and try to get assets. He's gonna get assets from a Meyer deal. If there are other players on the team, are gonna get moved. We'll get assets there. And yeah, maybe Carlson may not be on a 100 point pace next year, but if he's at an 80 point pace next year or a 70 point pace next year, it's one less year on the contract. And again, name recognition. It's Erik Karlsson. So like, Kenneth Kendrick Holland.
If he wants, podcast.
Yeah, honestly, like if he wants 65 in Edmonton colors, man, like he can't hold back, and he might have to give up the young defenseman who's had the best defensive impact on the blue line. And then if you're doing that, then
he could also go to just
Ruin's point. Like, are your windows lining up? Like, are you actually like thinking clearly about where you are as a team? Or are you just bringing in a player because they sound cool? And, you know, Edmonton did it last year with Evander Kane. It worked. I would be, who knows?
Hey, Ken Holland could also just opt for a cheaper route and get a more stable defenseman, like a name I bring up all the time, Joel Edmondson.
Man, you know what's happening.
Edmondson should be,
a bad defenseman.
That's a fireball of fans in my opinion. Joel Edmondson. That is not who you need in that back end. It's Erik Karlsson or bust.
In all fairness, though, the reason why I won't completely laugh off the fireball offense notion is because it's out there now that the top players, and we know who the top players are in Edmonton, want a puck-moving defenseman. If Ken Holland does not get a puck-moving defenseman, like, how do you feel if you're Connor McDavid and you're Leon Draisaitl? Immediately the narrative will switch to, did the Edmonton Oilers get the player that these top players wanted? And, like, if that's not the case, then everyone's going to look at Connor and Leon and be like, how are they going to sit with this when their contracts expire in whatever year? That's what's going to happen. I know Avery's going to be on this podcast saying, like, they didn't get this player, and Connor's going to leave in 3 years. Maybe not the last part.
You know, anyway. I would just love for them to just go on record and be like, yo, make it happen or else.
That'd be pretty badass.
You know, that would be a great follow, considering the next topic I want to talk about here, considering how Patrick Kane basically just kind of let everybody know how disappointed he was that he wasn't a New York Ranger.
That's wild, man. We've seen so many things this year in the league that like I've never seen before. I can't remember hearing something like that. Just like a player saying like, "Oh wow, that's kind of unfortunate. That was a team I was hoping to go for." I'm like, I've never heard that before. Like, damn, man.
Yeah,
he's really handcuffing Kyle. That's what any no move is.
Davison. Sorry, my bad. Sorry, you said Kyle, and I was like, wait a minute, you would first name Dubas. What did Kyle Davidson. Yeah. Good lord. I was about to be like, the Leafs aren't going for Patrick Kane. What is this?
Yeah,
as far as I know.
I don't think so.
You're not in favor of Patrick Kane and the Leafs colors?
No, I think there are better options.
Yeah. Patrick Kane, too, like, he doesn't necessarily, like, address any of the so-called Leafs flaws. Like, I generally think this Leafs team is pretty good. They could stand pat, and we'd get a little upset, but we'd get on. But, like, Patrick Kane, I know it sounds crazy. Like, he would obviously be great on Leafs top six offensively. He's very negligent defensively. Like, he doesn't – if the issue is that the Leafs aren't hard enough in the playoffs, he fixes none of that. But getting back, I guess, to the original sort of aspect of the Kane-Rangers part – like, I found it fascinating because him and Vladimir Tarasenko are virtually the same player at this point of their careers. Like, they both are still strong top six offensive talents that aren't as good as their name recognition would suggest. Tarasenko has the injuries. Patrick Kane has age-related decline. Neither of them play defense at all, like, even remotely. But still contributed to the scoring draft. So I thought that was sort of funny that Kane had that reaction, because I'm like, well, you're singling out a player who in profile is probably the closest player profile to you in the entire league. Like, will Kane still have a market? Yes. I know we talked, like, outside of the show that Kane going to the Sabres would be a lot of fun. So he will still have a market, but, you know, for him to sort of complain about it, I very much read it as him looking at it and being like, well, they got the exact same guy as me. And it seems, this could be conjecture, but from what I've read from the Athletics Rangers reporting, it seems like Tarasenko has like a great relationship with Artemi Panarin.
Yeah.
I think Kane also has a good relationship with Panarin dating back to their time with the Blackhawks. So that part hurt a little bit. So it is sort of fascinating how this can play out. There's still going to be a market for Patrick Kane, but like Omar said, I've never in like the 25 plus years of just watching hockey heard a player sort of say, that's the destination I wanted to go to. They didn't make it happen, because it would be less shocking if he came out and been like, yo, these are the teams I want to go to. Or like, here are the teams I'll wave my take off before. But it's all sort of slowly come out like through the idea of, oh, of course the Western New York boy wants to go to Buffalo or the Rangers. But he never gave like a firm indication. And that sort of is what struck me as most fascinating about it. But yeah, I don't know where Patrick Kane goes at this point. Buffalo will be fun. I just don't think they're seriously in the mix. But I don't know, guys.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough thing with Patrick Kane, honestly. Some people also like to think that the fact that he hasn't been all that decisive about whether or not he wants to go or leave might have also hurt the opportunity for him to go to a team like the New York Rangers. And at this point, like, I wonder, like, who is on this list of teams that he would like to play for? Was it like a Rangers or bust situation? Does he stay in Chicago and just say, you know what, at the very least, I can finish my contract as a Blackhawk, and depending on what I want to do after that, maybe I take a 1-year deal somewhere else. I don't know. But the fact that he put himself out there to say like, hey, man, I'm surprised that that deal ended up happening, and basically admitted to everybody that he would have loved to have been a blue shirt. Like, yeah, I wish more players were forthcoming like that, just to kind of add to the excitement that we would love to see for NHL trades, as opposed to, you know, every year where it's like, all right, great, this guy got traded for a conditional fifth. Rejoice. Right.
I mean, at this point, like, I would love to know what Davidson's like thought process is here, because it's like it's similar to last year with Giroux, but like different, because like with Giroux, we knew he only had two destinations. Well, actually, now people are saying like it was always Florida or nothing. So like was that Kane's scenario? Was it like Rangers or nothing? And it's not like Davidson could just say, okay, well, I'm just gonna trade you anyway. Like, he has a full no move. So like I wonder if like different teams will be calling around March 3rd, and then Davidson will say like, hey, well, here's like, I don't know, random example. Washington is offering this. What do you say? And then like every single answer is no. It's just like there was a time, sorry, I have to make it about the Leafs, where the Leafs wanted to trade Matt Sundin. And Matt Sundin, And Matt Sundin said no movement clause. And man, did the perception of him completely change. To this day, it still annoys me. I get it, but like to this day, it still annoys me. And like, Chicago fans are all in on the Bedard battle. Like, this year is nothing. It's about getting as many assets Bedard as possible. Right? It's all about getting assets. And I wonder if it comes out like over the offseason that like, Team X offered like a first and like a B-level prospect and like this young player, and then Patrick Kane was like, nah. And then like they ended up like just keeping him, and he walked away in free agency and they got nothing for him. So like I wonder if the legacy conversation is happening. You know, just like, how, you know, yes, you know, you might want to like retire and finish your career or whatever as a member of the Chicago Blackhawks, but like, do you want the fans to like be upset with you or whatever? I don't know. I feel like they have to do something, because like, yes, Kane has not had a great year, but like, Kane is still a player that can give you some value. Like, to be honest, I thought he was going to go to Vegas. I still think that. Like, that, yeah,
entirely possible.
I think he's going to Vegas. I don't know how or if it takes place, but like the Mark Stone thing happening, I was like, not going to match the defensive aspect in no way, shape, or form. But like, I don't know. Vegas always seems to get to be in on these situations. So, or hey, maybe Edmonton does it. Ha, that'd be funny. Ha.
That'd be funny. You have two Canes. It's Kane.
Yeah, it's Kane. Which one? Oh, right.
Oh, Kane. The two of them.
Yeah. Imagine March 3rd comes and goes, and either Kane or Taylor traded away. imagine neither guy gets
that come is March such 3rd. A failure on the part of the Blackhawks if that happens.
But here's, I think, but if you ask me that in like October, I'd say no, that's nuts. Like they'll get something for them. But man, if they're like this, like this specific about where they want to go, and again, it's in their right. They got their no movement clause, which isn't a no movement clause. No movement clause is if you trade me, I get to pick where I want to go. If like all power to them, that's their right, man. But damn, that looks tough, man. Because like Taze as well. Like we haven't talked about Taze yet, but like nope. Taze is a player I know I can see a lot of teams being in on. And imagine he just nixes every single one of those trades. Like that sucks. That sucks for the organization there, as far as I'm, you know, asset management.
Those yeah, because like no disrespect, but like those. I mean, yes, those two players mean a lot to that organization, and they have won and have achieved a lot of success with them, strictly speaking, on the ice. But if you're Kyle Davidson and you are going through your efforts to try to, you know, tank, let's call it a spade, they're trying to tank, they're trying to get assets, and you can't get anything for
sorry,
these
guys. Sorry, Gary Bettman.
Oh, what? Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Gary. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, we're right. Nobody tanks in the NHL.
Nobody tanks.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But like, if you let these two like stay as Blackhawks, like, fine, you know, fans will get around to the pageantry and they'll get to say goodbye and all that. But at the same time, Kyle Davidson would be in the back of his mind being like grumbling because like, oh, I could have gotten assets for these guys to assist with this rebuild instead of just letting their contracts expire and whatever. Like, you don't want that. You want at least something for these guys. I mean, I can understand if like one guy says, no, I really want to stay, and you at least let the other guy go and you get something for it. Maybe selfish is the wrong word, but like, I don't know. I feel like if you really care about your organization, you really want to see them do better. Do you offer yourself up to get yourself moved? At the same time, you know, you probably care about your state. These are family people too. And that's also something that has to be considered. So that's why selfish wouldn't be the right word. But I think if you're coming from the organizational standpoint where you want your retool to be as effective as possible, I mean, in an ideal world, I need at least one of those guys need to move on.
Yeah.
For something.
When else are looking at it, it does seem like Tames is more amenable to moving, right? Like he did say the effect of like, you know, I have to consider it, right? Like last summer. I don't know exactly what he said, but to paraphrase, he said something to the effect of like, wouldn't surprise me if I got moved. You know, we had some great years here. Clearly we're not going in the same direction. Right. That happened after the DeBrincat trade, if I'm not mistaken. Like he said something to the effect of like what the hell is this? Okay, I guess time's up. That too, and I think there's a difference in player profile too, right? Like a lot of people pointed out that Jonathan Taves has been arguably the best faceoff man in the league this year. Like, is he still like, you know, driving offense at the same rate he was a few years ago? No. Is he still like a perennial Selke candidate? No. But like he still does a lot of things well. You could, in theory, play him on the wing. That's not maybe the best use of his talents, but like you could, because you're, you know, because it's sort of accepted that Jonathan Taves is not going to command nearly the same return as Patrick Kane, they'll probably have a lot more suitors. Like, I think if one of the two guys is going to get moved, it'll be Taves. And to like Omar's point, they're using the Sundin parable, which again, I'm still infuriated with the segment of the Leafs fan base that treated Matts like that. Like, slightly different, I think, just in the sense that Patrick Kane is probably the best player in Blackhawks history and won 3 cups there. Like, so I don't think it's like, you know, we could talk about the, you know, the concurrent scandals they had and whatnot, but like, from an on-ice perspective, he's the best player in franchise history. Like, I don't think the fans are going to give him a hard time if he came out and asked for a move. Like, you know, I think for Kane, it probably was Rangers or bust. I think he definitely wanted to stay in a big market. Not that he was the type of guy to, like, sort of celebrate big market stats to begin with, but there's a quality of life that comes with coming in a, you know, major American city, and he probably wanted that. Taves doesn't seem to care much about that at all. Like, just play hockey and let's win a cup and keep it moving. But that, I think those are sort of the distinct differences to me. And then, yeah, like, I don't know what else the Blackhawks do. Like, Jake McCabe might be on the move. Max Domi might be on the move. I don't know what Max Domi would get back in a trade. Like, he's one of the two guys I don't want the Leafs to get, along with John Klingberg. Those are the two guys that would make me pull the rest of my hair out. But it seems like the Blackhawks, like, have a lot of different ways to recoup value. And I think they're more likely to get out of, like, Taves. Like, at the start of the year for the Yahoo Sports NHL preview, I wrote that Kane would stay in Chicago because the asking price would be too much. And now that the fact that he has these hurt feelings about the Rangers, that seems to be coming into play again. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Between EK65, Erik Karlsson, Patrick Kane, Timo Meier, I'm trying to think of some other names. Is there which name are you looking forward to seeing get moved ahead of the deadline?
Puljujärvi, like, man. Puljujärvi.
Jesse Puljujärvi.
Give him a new start. I'm so sick. I'm so sick of how he's talked about in Edmonton, like amongst specific like Edmonton media members. I'm so sick of it. Give the man a fresh start somewhere. I don't care where it is, and I hope he just has an actual opportunity to like restart and have like close to the career that we expected. Like there was a time where like amongst European players in that draft, like it was like I think Puljujärvi was at a time projected to go second overall. And then like Line A picked it up with his goal scoring, but like that World Juniors, like Puljujärvi snapped, man. And then like when he fell to fourth and like Edmonton got him, like it seemed like wow, like Edmonton locked out in another like high scoring, like elite prospect. And it just hasn't gone well. So like, yeah, Avery, you could probably talk about this more, but like I really hope that Puljujärvi gets a start somewhere and that Edmonton can actually get value for him and they don't just lose him on waivers.
Yeah, if they lose him on waivers for nothing, that's a shame.
Like there's an alternate timeline somewhere where this franchise knew what to do with him from day one. You remember with Puljujärvi, he was going up and down. Like, what are you doing? Like he's a Cuban Bakersfield call up. Like it was so bad. Pietrangelo didn't know what to do with the kid. He went back to Finland for a year, wanted a trade originally. He was brought back, and it appeared like it was working well. But even with the glimpse of Jesse playing really well, this franchise doesn't know what to do with Puljujärvi. It's upsetting because if he was in an organization with management that knew what to do with him from day one, this wouldn't have been an issue. It would not have been.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's a shame. But that's surprising. I thought with all the names out there, like a Meyer or potentially a Ryan O'Reilly, Jesse Puljujärvi is the guy we want to see move the most.
Yeah, just
but
on
also,
a personal
but
level.
Also the reasons do make sense.
Yeah,
Avery, do you share that too? Or you mention a name off the top, but is Puljujärvi the guy you want to see move for real?
Oh, you know, it's tough because you know I do want to see him to the MTN as someone who could revive his career, but it appears like he is going to get moved. He will get moved, but I would like to see him get moved and not move and not move on waivers, because if he's lost on waivers, that is once again another Oilers unforced error. Get something back from him. Don't let him go for nothing. You cannot lose him for nothing. Even picks, like, at this point in time, just even get picked back for him. Losing him for zero would be very embarrassing, I feel.
Avery, when you're in the media room pre-game dinners and all that, and Ken Holland sits among you guys, do you get to go to him and be like, hey, please get something for Jesse Puljujärvi?
You know.
You ever got to eat with Ken Holland?
I will refrain my comments here on that because, well, you know, I
won't
get into it.
Okay, sorry.
I won't get into that.
That sounds like a group DM conversation.
One time, one cut episode.
Oh boy, like a zone see, time after dark.
Yeah, see, that's another reason I couldn't be in media. See, Avery's better than me. Now, if I was part of the least media, like all the time, and Kyle J. Dubas walked in, I would like jump over the table and like, what are you doing, Kyle? What are you doing, Kyle? Kyle, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
You have to restrain you from Kyle.
Phone
Dubas.
Check the phone, Kyle. Like, oh just like every sentence would end with Kyle. What's the deal, Kyle? No one? Timo Meier? Anyone, Kyle?
Can you imagine if Omar was at the Leafs facility today and he went to Kyle Dubas and he was like, don't read Damian Cox's articles today. Please
don't do it, Kyle. But you know what you should read, Kyle? You know what you should read? You should read up on Timo Meier's numbers. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Huh? Let's go through the organization list. Okay, so we have a first, we have a second. We don't need that. Just like, hey, you know what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to call San Jose right now. Here. I'll literally like dial the number. Hey, Greer, how's it going, man? How's it going? You're black, I'm black. Okay, awesome. This is what we're going to do.
Oh, my
God. You're going to give us Meier. And then we're going to give you Kyle. What? Well, okay. Hey, we're going to give you a first, Matthew Nyes and Rasmus Sandin. No? Okay. And then just like keep. I will run. I will handle.
Love PCR.
That how you think trade calls go trade negotiations work?
In my mind, that's how they go. They call and then they just like someone does like a little check. They put them on hold. They walk around and stuff. They walk back. It's all tense. And then, you know, the trade gets done. They say, yes, awesome. They put it through the league. And then, you know what? They make the phone call. Hey, Meyer, you're on the Toronto Maple Leafs now. Well, your mission is to help us not lose in the first round. And they'll say, cool, awesome, sweet. And then 4 months later, it happens anyway. And you're like, okay, well, that was fun. And he says, yep, that's awesome. So, yeah.
You got to cut that clip right now.
That's a clip. That's a clip right there.
I'm dying to visual Omar clip my group saying, yo, yeah. I'm black, you're black.
Let's work it out. Let's work it out. Like, yeah, come on. Right. Let's work something out. Let's work something out here.
What if Timo Meier goes to Carolina?
That would be fun. I think Meier's more likely to go to New Jersey than Carolina.
Yeah, New Jersey. I forgot about New Jersey. They're actually in on it.
I think New Jersey is going to be the most fun team at this deadline. Like, just a combination of prospects they're going to throw back. I wrote earlier this year that they're the most fun team in the league. Like, out of the teams I've seen up close and personal, they are far and away the most fun. And them and Boston are only two teams that have a distinct system where they send two guys in on forecheck, have a third guy hanging back, and do it every shift. Like, those are two things that stand out. But, I think if Timo Meier were to go to Carolina, it would almost feel like a cheat code. Like, Carolina is the best puck position, shot creation team in the league. Jacob Slavin is far and away the best defensive defenseman in the league this year. Like, it's just like that pairing with him and Brent Burns is unstoppable. Their three-man goalie rotations worked out really well. They would be on paper by far the favorite. And I guess New Jersey would be too if they got Timo Meier too. But I think New Jersey holds all the cards at the deadline. Like, if they really want to trade Simone Nemec for someone, like, they could, you know what I mean? They could trade a recent number two overall pick as draft capital and not be materially hurt by it. Like, it's just so they have all the cards. I obviously want Meier to go to the Maple Leafs, but the one guy we haven't named as a guy, like, I want Vlasov Gavrikov too. He's probably my number two target for the Leafs.
Yeah.
He hits like a truck. We talked about, I mean, obviously he's not Erik Karlsson, but the one thing is, like, he's also been the best defender on a terrible team defensively that just falls apart when he's not on the ice. You know, him having like a lesser workload. I don't want the Leafs to trade Rasmus Sandin for anyone, but if they can trade, you know, one of Knies or Robertson for Vladislav Gavrikov, I'm all the way here for it. But like, if it's not the Leafs too, like, I would want him to move as well. It'll help the Blue Jackets tank command for sure. And he's a guy too. Like, a lot of people are trying to figure out his game, like, anecdotally, because in that home and home against the Leafs, like, he was awful in the first game and he was much better in the second one. And this year, he's generally been, like, pretty damn good on a terrible team. So, for those two reasons, I definitely want to see him moved as well. And I think he is probably one of the guys more likely to be moved. Like, I think a lot of big names we've talked about today, you know, there are just inherent challenges in trading them, whether it's salary or meeting a team's timeline or whatever the case may be. But he seems like a guy that should be pretty easy to move if a team's interested enough. And is a good enough player to do so. Anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm also interested to see where Ryan O'Reilly goes.
Yeah.
I'm just interested to see where he goes and what his impact is. Because, like we talked about it last week, like, I'm a little apprehensive about it. Like, even though I don't know if he's been, like, formally linked to the Leafs, but he's just been hey, that would be cool name. But, like, you know, coming off an injury is interesting as well. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm interested to see, like, what team goes for him and what the actual cost is going to be. Like, I think we've moved past the Bo Horvat trade is going to be the template. I don't think that anymore. And I think now that as we get closer and closer to the deadline, like, as this recording, we're 2 weeks away. I think we're going to start seeing a lot of those, like, holy crap packages for teams. And Not even from a buying sense of, like, you know, this is a team that really wants to, like, add to the deadline, but from a sense of, like, selling teams who want to get, like, as many, like, picks as possible. Like, again, it sucks for Chicago because, like, they have two firsts and two seconds. If they could get, like, another one, like, another first and another second, have six picks, it picked in the first two rounds in a draft like this, like, you're set. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
You mentioned that the trade deadline now. Will March 3rd actually be interesting, or will it be another 6 hours of, oh, here's one or two trades, and then 3 hours of just dead silence?
Here are some trades that happened, like, a month ago, or here are trades that happened, like, two, 3 days ago.
No, okay,
that's something that's happened a lot in recent years.
Well, that's Gary's league, man. Like, and he Gary Bettman has ruined the trade. Gary Bettman's ruined a lot of things, a lot. Okay, like again, I watched the Super Bowl and I thought of Gary Bettman because like, oh my god,
oh, really?
A controversial officiating call in a championship game, Gary. Anyway, so the deals that you that like teams just can't make deals. That's why poor Kendrick can't do anything. Because you have to be creative, you have to manipulate the cap, and not every team can do that. It's difficult. So, like, as funny as it is, like when you make fun of like Haaland, like it literally that's the nature of the NHL right now. Like the salary cap is so freaking tight. Like there are so many teams who are actively using long-term injured reserve to stay below the salary cap ceiling because they can't make a move. They need to get third teams in. They have to retain salary. Like it's so difficult. So yeah, like there's a time where you used to skip school on trade deadline day, man. I used to be like, oh my God, I'm sick. And then just like,
you skip school. Like, you skip school. You couldn't just be like everybody else and sit in your university class and have the stream on.
No. Because you know, I wanted to be fully engaged, and also you can't scream "Let's go" out loud in electric class; you'll be stared at. I did that once.
Also, this history: a Jamaican man thinks he skipped school. That's history.
No. he admitted. He admitted it on wax, knowing that maybe his parents might see this.
Sorry, Mom.
Retribution. Any of you guys ever skip school for trade deadline day?
I've skipped school for March Madness. I've skipped school for Toronto Blue Jays opening day. I've skipped school for Canadian Olympic games, like both men and women's hockey. Those are ones that really stand out to me. The March Madness one, I had no excuse, but Steph Curry was on a heater for Davidson, and
you skipped school to watch Steph Curry at Davidson.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Why is it wild? We all love sports here.
I love sports too, but like, really?
I never skipped school, but I admit I was that kid during March Madness, going on like my P2P, trying to find sketchy streams to watch Davidson play Duke. That was me.
Actually, you know what? Now that I remember it, the first time I ever skipped class, I went to a friend's house to watch an NFL Thanksgiving game. The friend of mine was American. And he was having friends over for American Thanksgiving. American living in Montreal. And we watched football. At least like cool. Like it was like a theme thing.
The trade deadline's on a theme. Listen, man. Listen, okay.
Depends on what gets moved.
There are moments that you just need to be there for, right? Everyone remembers where they were for when this happened over the summer. The Stamkos, Subban, Weber thing.
Yes, everyone remembers. I know exactly where I was.
Everyone remembers where they were. And sometimes you want to be there in the moment when that moment happens and you see the notification and Timo Meyer's in Toronto.
Wait a minute. I have a question. Yeah. Omar and Arun can answer this best. What Leafs trade at the deadline do you like remember vividly the most? Like what sticks out in your brain?
I remember the Leafs acquiring Thomas Mechanics because I was so confused. I was like, why? Why? Why?
All these deals.
That was so weird. No, honestly, God, that one to this day, I've never been so confused about a hockey trade in my entire life.
That was a really weird trade. Seeing Plekanec in a Leafs jersey was really
weird. That was so weird, man. Oh,
was
my God.
Was Lou still there, too, as GM?
That was a Lou. Yeah, that was a Lou.
So he had to, shave, the goatee. Oh, yep. Yeah.
That was the era where Lou didn't care about our second-round picks. Montreal, there you go. Like, literally, Tampa, there you go. For, for Brian Boyle, I think it was. But, yeah, that deal was weird. The David Clarkson deal I thought was fake. Cause I didn't believe it, and I looked at the details, and I was like, "Oh, so they trade for a player who will never play, so they put him on and that's when I got introduced to LTIR, and now
in Robidoux Island.
Years later, everyone does it. Yes, and now everyone's doing it. Good times.
Yeah.
There's two that stand out for me. One, I mean, this wasn't technically deadline, but when Leafs got Dion Phaneuf at the end of January 2010,
oh, boo,
was a huge
boo,
one
boo. booth.
Yeah, I know, but like,
whoa,
it was like,
whoa. NHL 09 cover athlete Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah, so like,
you're
at the time,
booing
like,
Dion Phaneuf. What's wrong with Dion
Nicholas? Because Nicholas Hagman was included in the trade, and I liked Hagman. He was gone.
Man,
and I was like, oh,
yeah, like Saga Man Matt Stajan got traded for that deal.
Saga Man Matt Stajan.
Yo, he's from my hometown. What would you want me to say?
Yo.
But also, like, Dion Phaneuf at the time, like, there wasn't really a whole lot known about him. It was like, well, he's this great young player from Calgary. And really, I remember from just being 21 in undergrad, all my friends yelling out the wham bam, it's a double Dion. Just not
shout out Pierre Bouguard.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, this is count. I'm looking it up to see if this was actual deadline or not. But, it was a deadline when the Leafs got Brian Leetch, because we were like, holy shit, it's Brian Leetch. And obviously you knew like he wasn't. And then Brian Leetch's first game, he had like 4 points, and then a bunch of people were like trying to extrapolating his numbers. Like, if Brian Leetch keeps it up, he'll be at this like 80-point pace for the playoffs, which is obviously ridiculous. But those are the two ones that definitely stand out to me for sure.
Mm-hmm. Good times. Avery, when you were an Oilers fan, was there a trade that stood out to you?
A deadline day deal? Ooh. I'm not sure really a deadline day deal. I think the big one was bringing Patrick Maroon. He was a big addition for that team. Mm. And probably one of the last times they really won a deadline day deal. But in terms of like trades in general, I remember in it wasn't deadline day, but I remember being 12 years old, and seeing notification of Eric Brewer to the Blues for Chris Pronger. I was like, what?
Yeah.
12-year-old me seeing Chris Pronger, Edmonton, that was blew my mind that it was ever possible. It was only for 1 year, but man, that 1 year of Pronger in Edmonton, that was a heck of a season.
Man, for me, when I was still a Canadiens fan, it was the year Thomas Vanek got traded.
It was literally the very last major trade.
That year, yeah. And I was like interning for TSN station at the time, and like as I was leaving, as my shift was done, the trade was done, and like I think a lot of people knew that he wasn't going to stay because he wanted to go to Minnesota in the off season, and that didn't really work out for him in the end. But like it was cool that like he was supposed to be like the big fish of that trade deadline, and the Canadiens got him, and the return was kind of, I mean the returns with him were mixed. But the Canadiens got him. It only cost them like a draft pick and Sebastian Kolberg, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Good times.
Yeah. Good times. Well, hey, there will be a trade deadline to come in March, and there will be new memories for another generation of fans who have not become media members like us yet. Omar notwithstanding. There will be new memories for those people when it comes time for March. And whatever the trade deadline poses for that day. Unless there's anything else we want to bring up on this week's show, I think that's going to do it for this week's edition of Zone Time. Arun, thank you again for tapping in. For Sam, we really appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Always a pleasure. Best show in the biz.
50% of these fans, woo!
Yeah, oh, yeah. My goodness. Thank you, Omar. Thank you, Avery. Thank you to everyone who watched or listened to this episode. Subscribe to the podcast however you consume podcasts. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.